There's a lot of talk in the public square these days about quid pro quo. No, I'm not going to get into it. But the idea of quid pro quo is the Latin for this and for that. It just means, you know, if you would, if this, then that, or I do this and then you do that, or we might call it tit for tat in today's colloquial language. But it's all about transactions. But in fact, our entire economic system is based upon that very quid pro quo. I pay you $4.99, you give me a gallon of milk. I pay you $3.50, and you give me a very expensive Starbucks. and so. It goes like that. That's just the way it is. It's a transaction between two parties. It seems today that the Lord and the Scriptures is telling us that prayer is like that transaction. It says to Moses, pray for the Israelites to win over the Amalekites. As long as his arms are up, they win. As long as their arms are down, they lose. So Hur and Aaron keep the arms up so that they win, so that the transaction is complete. And then we come to the gospel, which even disturbs us even further, the unjust judge. And we have this persistent widow who continues to seem to pray and to pray as if that God is convinced by our persistence more than by and our transaction. We do this, then God will do that. I'm deeply suspicious of this type of thinking. In fact, as a child, I've always been suspicious of this type of thinking of prayer is of, I do this, and then, Lord, you do that. Because then, ultimately, it's not about God's will. It's about our will. I'm going to do this, and you don't have a choice, Lord. You have to do that. I do 13 or 9, you know, remember the novenas? You do 9 rosaries, 9 days a row, and you will have your wish granted. Isn't it almost like a rubbing the genie bottle? You do it 3 times, you say it 9 times, and then you get your answer. So when I was younger, I decided, my mom used to be big into novenas. We'd go to church every day and she'd have the novenas. And so once I decided I'd put it to the test, I missed one deliberately. I only did 8. I wanted to see if the answer to the prayer would happen anyway. You know what? It went anyway. Ha! I said, ha! It can only do 8. Next time I did 11 instead of 13. The next time I did 7 instead of 9. I started to mess with the Lord and say, hey, these transactions don't really match. See, it's all faulty thinking to think that God is transactional in our prayer. The idea of prayer, and I'm after spending the whole weekend teaching people up at Los Altos about prayer and how to kick off their prayer life, it was. And I spent the whole weekend telling them that prayer is not a transaction. And then this was the reading of which I had to finish the homily. But I'm like, you got to be kidding me, Lord. Well, it can't be about transactions, because then it's us in control of prayer life. And we're telling God what to do, so it doesn't make sense. So then what do we do with this reading? So here's what's interesting. You know, all this, you know, when you hear parable in the Scripture, you have to hear Jesus is telling you a story, and he's trying to get you to understand his ways. Now, what's interesting is, in this particular story, you know, God is trying to, and Christ is trying to teach us something. And so what he does, he teaches down to our level so that we can understand, like children. Let me explain something to you. And so he comes down, and then what happens is we take that understanding and we project it back onto God as if that we limit God to that same understanding. He just has to bring it down for our language, and then we're going to flip it back at him and says, that's the way God is, and that's the only way God is. That makes no sense at all. So let's look at this parable. Let's break open this parable. Let's do some. We all think that God is the, which I've always got a problem with understanding this parable, as God is the unjust judge, and we're meant to be the persistent widow, which deeply offends me, to be honest with you, that God is an unjust judge. That doesn't make any sense. Even with judges present, I would respectfully say that. It doesn't make any sense.
So how about the God or Christ is the persistent widow? Ooh, let's flip it. Well, then what happens? Then God is always persistent against us as a unjust judge. Now the parable makes sense. Now it starts to really open up. It's because why? Well, Jesus is merely trying to illustrate that we need to be persistent as he is persistent for justice. That he will keep asking us and keep hounding us until we will listen to him and render a just judgment for him, that we will do his will. See, the real issue here is that we are called to be always fighting for justice, always searching to be part of God's way. And here's the interesting part, is that Jesus is constantly telling us that God is going to more than meet us halfway. He's going to, as soon as we start down that way, he's going to help us. He wants the justice. He wants the charity. He wants the compassion. He wants every aspect of that in our life. So he's not going to just enable us. He's going to inspire us, enable us, and complete us. Because all we have to do is make the effort and head on that way. And what is that for Christ? Is that we need to be persistent in our prayer. We need to be men and women of prayer. Now, if you've heard me say that 1,000 times, now Christ says it. Now you have to listen. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's not just me now. Thank God, for once, it's not me. It's Jesus who says we need to be persistent in our prayer. So what must we pray for? What is it that Christ has asked us to pray for? Justice. He's asked us to pray for justice. And that we must fight for justice. And be persistent in our prayer so that a just decision will be made in our favor. Now, if we're going to be serious about praying for justice, then we're going to have to become listeners in our prayer. Because most often, well, we're biased. We're a bit like that unjust judge. We have our own preferences. We have our own ways. And so what we have to do is we have to learn to listen to Christ, to discern, to listen to his way, and to discern what must we be persistent, what does justice look like here, and to think about all the parties. So what a good judge would do would be to look at all the facts and would honestly render a good and just decision. But at the very least, we are called to be persistent so we get a just decision. So I don't know if you've marked any way in your prayer life, if you've moved from 2 minutes to 5 or 5 to 10 or 10 to 20 or 20 to a half hour per day, or if you've never even started your daily prayer yet. But today's the day. Start. Increase your prayer life. If you've gone off track, then get back on track. Start off simple, but pray every day. It's great that you're here. I love it, but it's not enough. Not even close. Don't even think that this is fulfilling your obligation. Not even close. It's the beginning of your obligation, sure. But from here every day, pray so that we can render a just decision for everyone we meet. And then we're called to act that way. And then come back again next week to find the strength, the courage to do it again.